Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Around Town. I'm your host, Ron Giordano, and our guest today is Mike Buehler, the chair of the McHenry County Board. Mike has been with us in the past and brought us up to date on things taking place in the county, and Mike was kind enough to join us again today. Mike, thank you for coming back to Around Town.
Thank you for the invite. It's great to be back.
You're welcome. So what's the latest in the county, Mike?
Well, we've got a lot going on since I was last here. I know last time we talked about the Advanced McHenry County Program, which we're still working on allocations as far as that goes. Some great news that we had last February was that the U.S. Treasury has recognized McHenry County's use of ARPA funds as one of 16 of 3,000 counties in the country for innovative use of our funding. So we're very proud of that. And in addition, just recently, we awarded $250,000 to the Village of Huntley for a new water main under Route 47 through the Advanced McHenry County Program. So some of those funds are making it down here to Huntley as well. So we're trying to spread it
around.
Wow,
that's awesome. And to receive that recognition, that's pretty significant.
Yeah, well, we're fortunate as a county that we are in a strong financial position. And we were able to really take our time to distribute those funds instead of just trying to get them out there as fast as we can. We wanted to be thoughtful and deliberate on how we use them for economic development and infrastructure programs and the like.
And I bet there's a lot of counties out there that can't say the same thing.
Yeah, well, one of the allowed uses is revenue replacement, and we did not have to use that for McHenry County. We have a very, like I said, very strong financial position. Actually, we're one of only three counties in the state that can claim to be debt-free. We paid off the last of our debt about a year and a half ago.
Wow, that's awesome. The, you know, that's kind of like when you pay off the mortgage on your house, you say, oh, I got this sigh of relief. My mortgage is paid for. That's pretty good because it's telling the people in the county that you're just not being frivolous with the funds, but you're being very, very, you know, cautious in how you do it and what you do and how you pay your bills.
Absolutely. That's the goal.
So law enforcement success. You want to talk about that a little bit, Mike?
Well, another use of the Advanced McHenry County funds was to work with our Sheriff's Department for construction of a regional training center. And just last month, we cut a ribbon on the new regional training center located in Cary. And fortunately for us, the Village of Cary, when they moved to their new Village Hall, agreed to sell us their old Village Hall for the hefty sum of $1.
Wow.
We took advantage of that.
Did you take up a collection for that, Mike?
I wish I would say that I took it out of my own pocket, but I didn't. Okay. We have to use county funds for that, so we did present them with a framed $1 bill at the ribbon cutting just last
okay.
month.
Oh, it was framed on top of it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Great.
So, in addition, I mean, part of our collaborative efforts, we try to work with all of our municipalities. We've also been working with the Sheriff's Department on the Police Social Worker Program, which just celebrated its one-year anniversary, and it's been an amazing success. The program is comprised of the Sheriff's Office and 18 other law enforcement agencies within the county. And this program bridges the gap between law enforcement and the county's network of social service providers.
And how does that work, Mike? How does that tie together? How this the social work program, what are they basically doing?
There are certain instances where the repeated calls are received from the Sheriff's Department and municipal departments, okay. and a lot of those are mental health related. In the past, I mean, we all know that police officers are not necessarily trained mental health experts.
Right.
So by using social workers, we're able to provide significant benefits by referrals to social workers on those repeated calls. And they're able to bridge the gap between law enforcement and the mental health providers within the county. And like I said, it's been just an amazing success. The percentage of clients who had less police contact following intervention were about 60 to 70% reduction in calls involving those type of issues.
Wow, that's pretty significant.
And getting the help that people need.
Yeah, and I know the other thing that police have always struggled with is that when someone has a diabetic attack or a diabetic coma, and it looks like perhaps they're intoxicated and they're not, recognizing that and learning how to handle those situations. That's important, too. And hopefully they're learning through all this. And this educational process is great, especially the work that the county can do to help enforce that.
Right.
That's terrific. The how about the Valley High Nursing? What's going on there, Mike?
Yeah, I think last time I was here, we talked about that a little bit. The Valley High Nursing Home, we've really recognized a need with our aging population for memory care services. I mean, as people get older, the need for that increases. In October, we broke ground on Valley High's memory care unit. It's a $3.99 million project that will enable our nationally recognized facility to provide memory care services to our community. The project was undertaken without the need to borrow any money or raise taxes, and occupancy is anticipated to begin in the spring of 2025.
Mike, I think you should repeat that because I don't think people realize that it didn't cost them anything about not raising taxes. I think that's an important point.
Right. Well, it's the model of Valley High. It's a county-run nursing home. Like I said, nationally accredited and recognized. I think they were a Silver Award winner this past year. But Valley High's model over the last decade or so has been to be self-sustaining. There still is a tax levy in place, but it's just held open with $10,000 a year on people's the county's portion of property taxes. And Valley High, between the bed mix of Medicare and Medicaid patients, is truly self-sustaining. So we don't rely on property taxes to fund Valley High. There are healthy enough reserves, even after we rebated hundreds of dollars to taxpayers a couple of years ago. There's healthy reserves that it is self-sustaining, and we're able to use some of those reserves to construct a memory care unit, basically at no cost to taxpayers for their property taxes.
Mike, for folks that are newer in the county and don't know about Valley High, is there a little background you could share that, you know, how long it's been around and it belongs to the county that they might think, well, geez, this is a private enterprise?
So we can
kind of clarify that for all of them?
Yeah, Valley High has been in existence for over 100 years.
Wow.
Originally, it was set up as the county poor farm. For people that were not able to take care of themselves. And then over time, it kind of increased to more of a nursing home type of application. But the mission is still the same. And their mission is to take care of those who are unable to take care of themselves. So we try to have a bed mix in there of people that are more Medicaid reliant than Medicare. Reliant. So we are still able to serve that underserved population that can't afford those type of services.
Has it always been in that same location all those years, Mike, or is it?
Yeah, actually the poor farm was on the same property, not the exact location of what the nursing home is now. I couldn't tell you exactly when the new facility was constructed. I think it was about 30 years ago or so that the new facility was constructed.
You know, it's kind of nice because not too many counties have something like that going on and have it available for the public.
Right. And some of the ones that have been and have gone out of existence over the last 10 or 15 years. I mean, the cost of medical care has increased to the point where it's very difficult for a county to run a self-sustaining operation. So we're lucky to have the management of facility that we have. They're county employees. Tom Anarella does an amazing job. And the employees themselves, they're just so dedicated to the mission. We're just so fortunate to have that facility.
Well, it sounds like you've been very, very busy in the last couple of months, Mike.
Yeah.
How about this Greater Chicagoland Economic Partnership? What's that all about?
Right. Well, we're always wanting to work with our municipal partners in the county, but this is really an expansion. Part of our strategic plan is to work with other counties in the area as well, and this is just another step in that direction. It's been a year since we announced the Greater Chicagoland Economic Partnership, which is an agreement between McHenry County and its fellow collar counties. Cook County, City of Chicago, Kane, Will, Kendall, and Lake County, DuPage County as well. So that's to collaboratively promote the economic development in the Chicagoland region. I mean, we can't live on our own silos anymore. We have to work with others to try to attract and retain businesses for the region on a whole, and it benefits us all. I think a great example of that, and in just such a short time that the partnership has been in existence, is one project that was directly influenced by this partnership is Kuriyama of America. Their ongoing expansion from its 120,000 square foot warehouse in Schaumburg to now a 329,000 square foot facility in the Huntley Commercial Center across from Amazon. Well, that's not in McHenry County proper, because Huntley is divided between Kane and McHenry. This is on the Kane side, but the benefits do extend to McHenry County. We have McHenry County residents that will be working in that facility, so that's a benefit to us.
Well, there's other things going on, too. I know that there's a lot of work down the road coming for the train system for expansion in Woodstock, and also a repair depot there for the trains that bring jobs and benefits. How about as far as roadways, Mike? Any information there with the folks? There's always talk about Route 47 widening and Woodstock being widened. What's going on in the county there as far as that's concerned?
Yeah, so that's not a county route. That's a state route, so IDOT controls that. But there is upcoming construction that will be happening. Well, ultimately, it'll be from Reed Road all the way up to, I think, Charles Road north of the county complex. So over, the next 5 years, 5 to 6 years, there's going to be a lot of construction on Route 47, but it's much needed. As traffic increases, we need the added capacity that those projects will bring.
And, you know, it's always a good time to do it now as farmland on Route 47 instead of trying to do it when you've got all kinds of buildings that have been put up.
Right. And a road is just not just a road. It's also a driver of economic expansion. I mean, I think that once that road is completed, we'll see quite a bit of development along Route 47.
I think access to Woodstock, too, the county seat, is going to grow because you'll have a four-lane highway. I would assume that's going to be four-lane, correct?
Yes.
And I think they're going to be working 176 as far as how that's kind of zigs and zags. They're going to clean all that up with that truck stop.
Right. Yeah, and there will be quite a few roundabouts through the Woodstock area up there. Some people don't like them. Some people love them. I'm an advocate for roundabouts. I think it's great for the environment, fuel efficiency, and they're safer.
Well, you just have to get used to them. I know some roundabouts in Wisconsin, they're eager to do it, but they had a few of them that were not set up properly for semis that go around the roundabout. But then they went back and they corrected that. So, I mean, you learn through experience, and you know about that. I know the one in Woodstock seems to be working very well so far.
Yeah, I love it. That's always been a pretty dangerous intersection over there. I never knew when to turn, and there's five different entry points into that, I think. And it's so much easier to get through there now. You know, and there's been quite a few roundabouts installed in the county over the last few years. And I think as people become more familiar with them, the issue is not going to be as great.
So we got all these things we're covering, all the things we're talking about. How about you and your job? I mean, there's a lot of tasks that you have. Let's tell folks about what your day-to-day is like as the chair of this McHenry County Board.
It's pretty busy.
Okay. We're ready. Go ahead, Mike.
I'm the face of the county. So, I mean, there's all kinds of events that I have to go to outside of day-to-day operations of 28 different departments that we have. So, I mean, it can be time-consuming. There's charitable events. I know I ran into you at a charitable event recently, and that sort of thing. Ribbon cuttings, representation of the county at multiple events, even in the city of Chicago.
We're going to pause for one moment, Mike. Just to remind everybody, you're listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station. And I'm quizzing Mike on all the duties he has, all the challenges, so we can get a little bit of background on what he's all about and what lies ahead for him. Continue, Mike.
Right, and there's a lot of behind-the-scenes activity that people aren't aware of until it becomes public. I mean, something and a challenge, I think, going forward is really going to kind of come out over the course of the next year with the RTA and Metra and Pace Suburban Bus. There's a fiscal cliff coming, so to speak, in 2026, and there's talk of a complete reorganization of the transit system boards, which we have some concerns about. As the Collier County's representation, we want to make sure McHenry County is a donor county to the RTA, which means that we put more money into the RTA than we get back in benefits and transportation from those boards.
That's not really fair, is it?
No, it's not. And so we've got some real concerns there, but we're already talking to our legislators on how we can really advocate for the county to become less of a donor county and still have equal representation on the RTA, Metra, and PACE boards as well. So we're working hard on that aspect. We don't want to I think the biggest concern is probably taking on any debt that's been generated by other bodies within the RTA, especially large pension debt coming out of the city of Chicago. We don't want to be paying for pension debt that's been incurred elsewhere.
Well, sure, and that's not that's something that we should be hung out to dry with as well. And with PACE, I mean, there's a lot of people that use PACE that don't have transportation. So that's important, and we should get our fair share, especially with what you've been doing and the money you've been contributing. That's not really fair either to get the short end of the stick.
Right, and transportation is important, and we understand that, and we all need it. We rely on it for economic development, but we want equal representation and fiduciary representation as well.
I know, Mike, people have probably read in the paper about the gas tax. You want to cover that a little bit, because people see that and say, oh, my goodness, they're raising the taxes. That let's let them know what that's all about.
Right. So we talk about fiscal responsibility with the county. We're a debt-free county. But in order to achieve that, there have had to been cuts to county departments over the years. I mean, the county's portion of your property taxes is actually less today than it was in 2008. A lot of people don't understand that or realize that because there's multiple taxing bodies within the county. So in reducing the property taxes, one of our departments that has kind of taken a little bit of a hit is our Department of Transportation. And the gas tax originally was brought into play in 1990 and had not been raised since 1990. It's 2023 today. That's 33 years that the gas tax, right, the county's portion of the gas tax, has not been increased. We felt the need to increase the gas tax to make sure that our DOT has the financial resources it needs to maintain the roads that the citizens expect them in the condition that the citizens expect them to be in. So that was kind of the thought process between the increase in the property tax. And also, you know, McHenry County has the second highest property taxes in the state of Illinois of any other county. And this was one way for us to avoid having to have a major property tax increase this year. There's a very small increase to the county's portion of your property taxes. So that was one way to alleviate the pressure on property taxes. And, you know, the county is no different than any other citizen. We're experiencing pressures on our budgets, just like any family budget. For rising costs and inflation. And over the last couple of years, we've seen that considerably in our Department of Transportation. You used to be able to buy a snowplow for $250,000. That plow truck is now $500,000 and takes us a year to acquire. So these are across the board, we're seeing increases, and you know, the gas tax is going to help us alleviate that as much as possible. You know, this gas tax for the average driver, the cost over the course of 1 year would be about $16. Mike, but we're going to be in a strong financial position.
And with that tax for roads, do you have any number? I'm asking you to throw out some kind of a number. Like, what do we spend on our roads for improvements? Do you have any idea on that?
It depends on year. I mean, we always have different projects going year by year. And it varies. I mean, we've got the Randall Road project coming up, should be starting next year, and that's a $50 million project. But as far as annual maintenance, I'd have to get back to you.
I know Route 14, there's a lot of resurfacing there, a lot of that's been in the area around McHenry County, and some of the roads have been repaired and redone, and they were long overdue. So it's kind of nice to see, and I'm sure that most of the money that we're looking at goes to the county roads, not the state roads.
Right. Yeah. Like you say, Route 14 is a state route. Randall Road is a county route. And this last phase on Randall Road is really the last scheduled major road work that we have in the county. That most of the major county roads have been taken care of over the last few years. And I don't foresee any huge projects going forward.
And what's going to take place on Randall? Because I know Randall, a lot of work has been done on Randall Road over the years.
Right. So the last leg is going to be between Acorn, just north of Algonquin Road, to Ackman Road. and that'll be a widening and safety improvements in that corridor.
Well, you know, the I think down the road, I could see Route 47 becoming similar in some ways to Randall Road with once the road gets widened and construction is going to go on, there's going to be a lot taking place there.
Absolutely.
And when that happens, when those businesses come in, does that benefit the county also, Mike, in any way, shape, or form?
It does, and it helps us to reduce our property tax burden if we have businesses contributing to property taxes.
That's, I think, music to a lot of ears of people that want to hear that. That'll reduce it. How about your plans now for the balance of the year? What's in line for you? What's in store for you now?
Well, I think that this coming Tuesday night is going to be a big night for us. One of the last remaining dollars of our ARPA funds, there's a resolution in front of the board Tuesday night. We're working with our partners in Kane County. Long Meadow Parkway is a project that's been in the news for 30 years. And they're finally going to be finishing probably, I think it's the last 600 feet of Long Meadow Parkway. Originally, it was planned to be a toll road. Working with Kane County and the state of Illinois, they've received enough funding to pay for that road, pay off the bonds for that road, and the road is not even completed yet. Our contribution will be $1 million of ARPA funds. Cook County is going to contribute $1 million, and Kane County will contribute $3 million. And when we break or when we cut the ribbon on that road, there will be no toll. We will be the first counties to ever eliminate a toll road in the state of Illinois.
You know,
and average cost savings to a frequent user or a commuter on that road will be about $300 a year. So the payback on that $1 million is going to be within probably the first year and a half. And really over the course of 20 years, I think we're looking at about $40 million in savings to the taxpayers without the use of any property tax dollars. So, I mean, that's a
awesome.
Win-win for everyone.
You know, it's kind of, I'm laughing because when they put all the toll roads in, they said once they get paid for, the tolls will go away. And, of course, I think everyone that drives toll roads says, well, that never happened because it keeps changing and changing and changing. But, well, next year, and it keeps going on and on and on. But they have a toll actually go away. I think we must be the first in the nation for that to happen, Mike.
I would imagine so, and we're very proud that we're able to be a part of that.
Wow.
I think the other thing that is going to be interesting Tuesday night, we will be voting on putting a referendum on the ballot for the March primary to change the funding stream for the McHenry County Mental Health Board. The question to the voters will be, would you be able to accept a 0.25% sales tax and a complete reduction of the levy that's currently put in place for the Mental Health Board on your property taxes? So what that would do, a 0.25% sales tax, and that sales tax would not be on food, medicine, or medical items. A 0.25% sales tax would generate approximately $14 million for the Mental Health Board. At the same time, we could increase their funding and give them more money than we need,
right,
that they need, because we know that even after COVID, there's ongoing mental health issues that need to be dealt with in the county,
right,
and it's currently funded by property taxes. So what would happen would be the property tax levy would be eliminated in the current form of the referendum. So your property taxes would be reduced by the county's portion of your property taxes would be reduced by 13%.
Well,
and a 0.25% sales tax will increase their funding. We'd lower the burden of property taxes on our residents. And I think it's a win-win for everyone.
Mike, will that be made clear enough so people understand the reduction and then the addition of the tax so they don't look at it and say, oh my goodness, we're gonna be taxed again some more, that they have a thorough understanding of that?
Yes, the question is very clearly stated. It comes straight out of state statute. I wish I would have brought it with me here today. But we are going to, if it passes the board Tuesday night, we will put a FAQ on the county website that will, and that'll be a living document, so to speak, that as questions come in, we can answer those questions.
I think something in the newsprint, too, because if people don't, have a computer or maybe aren't computer savvy, that there's other ways they can find out about it by having print that they can read is that this is what's going to take place, so you know exactly what's going on. There's no games here. If we do this, you get this.
Yeah, and we will definitely put out a press release to all news agencies within the county, and I would be shocked if they didn't cover it very completely.
Well, that's really good to hear, Mike, and thank you so much for joining us today. Folks, you've been listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio station. Go to huntleycommunityradio.com. Contact us for more information. Mike Bueller, the chair of the McHenry County Board, has joined us today, as he has in the past. We're going to invite Mike again to come back and join us again to give us more updates. And Mike, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you. I look forward to coming back in the future.
Thank you so much. Have a great day, folks.
Thanks.